the artist that probably defined my childhood, Michael Jackson. He was the first full name that I could actually say, and I would like scream it, Michael Jackson, every time I saw him on TV.
For me, the album would be Boyz II Men's second album. I listened to that on repeat for years.
Well, I'd have to go with the Beatles because that was the sound of my childhood.
My album would be Little Feat because I used to listen to that with my dad when I was younger, and it brings back memories.
I don't know. Michael Jackson's Thriller, Depeche Mode, George Michael. It's a hard choice.
Welcome to Vinyl Decision, where the guests choose the music. And we're starting now.
Okay, we're listening to Vinyl Decision. My name's Mark Thomas. We're in the studio today. What we do at Vinyl Decision is we invite a guest in, and that guest brings in a slice of vinyl that they consider as an important slice of vinyl in their life. And today's guest is Jim Klar. Is that correct?
Klar, yeah.
Klar. That's it. Great, yeah. Good. Jim Klar, and do you want to tell us who you've brought in?
I brought in John Mayall, particularly John Mayall Jazz Blues Fusion.
Wonderful. Just quickly, why this album then?
Well, when I was in high school in the 1970s in Louisville, Kentucky, my older brother got drafted at the tail end of the Vietnam War, and he came back and he made up this room on the third floor of our house, and he had all this fantastic stereo equipment that he had bought in Asia.
Oh, really?
And he had a huge collection of albums, and I was looking through his albums, and I saw this one, and I asked him about it, and he said, I had no idea what it was. I didn't know John Mayall. I didn't know blues. I didn't know jazz. I was a heavy metal kid. I was into Deep Purple, Black
Thankfully
Sabbath.
Thankfully, you grew out of it. Thankfully.
Well, actually, that's all based on the blues as well.
Okay.
So I asked him about the album, and he said, oh, I don't really like that. Do you want it? And I said, you're going to give it to me? And he said, yeah. So he gave it to me, and I took it downstairs to my tiny room, which I shared with my other brother, and I put it on the stereo that I bought with the money I saved from my paper route, and it blew me away.
Okay, wonderful.
And the sound of the harmonica actually produces underneath, just under my sternum, a sort of a vague, warm liquid sensation.
Wow.
So I had a visceral reaction
to
the music.
That's real love.
Yeah.
Oh, that's amazing. And it's funny how many stories I hear when I ask people about how they got into their vinyl choice, their decision. It's often by accident, or, you know, they saw a t-shirt they liked or their brother had or their father had.
Mm-hmm.
It's nice to hear the stories of how people end up, and purely by your brother bringing back an album he didn't like, this has become a major influence on you.
Oh, yeah.
You changed my life. You're a blues player now, yeah?
Yeah, I play harmonica in a local blues band, Tony Taylor and the Rockets.
Nice.
And actually, we are every Sunday night at Plug for at Sappho.
Okay, nice. That's
every Sunday night, it's
a
Sappho Blues Jam, yeah.
Oh, okay, good. Well, we can get on down there. And you play the harp there, yeah?
Yes.
Wonderful. Okay, so we're in the studio with Jim Klar. His choice is John Mayall, Jazz Blues Fusion.
Fusion.
That's probably the first album ever to use the word fusion, I guess.
Well, it's interesting because John Mayall comes from a traditional, is British, but picked up blues, traditional blues, plays harmonica, keyboards, and guitar. Yeah. And but this album, particularly, I mean, he had a very famous group we could talk about later, the Blues Breakers.
Yeah,
basically,
Eric Clapton.
Everyone, Peter Green, Eric Clapton, all the great blues musicians, British blues musicians, went through there. It was like a training ground. But on this particular album, it's all jazz guys that he plays with. So he's with a trumpet player, saxophone player, guitar player, bass, and drums, and then he plays harmonica, guitar, and keyboards. So it is a fusion of blues and jazz. It's a structure. Structurally, it's a blues chord progression. But if you listen to the solos, there's jazz coming out of the walls.
Wonderful. Okay, well, we're going to get onto the album now. And the first track is called Country Road.
Country Road. I can't.
There you have it. That was the first track off of John Mayall's Jazz Blues Fusion. Thank you. I'll get it right in the end. And how did that feel hearing that again on vinyl, Jim?
Oh, it was great. It was very warm. And the song starts out very slow. And then the drums come in, then the solos come in, and it builds to really nice crescendo. And I think one of the nice things about vinyl is you have a side one and a side two.
Absolutely.
And regardless, you could play side two first if you want, but I never did. I always played side, cut one,
absolutely,
side one first.
Absolutely.
And then you go through it chronologically.
Yeah, as it should. Because that's how the musicians put down those tracks. They obviously, and I talk about this quite a lot, obviously musicians, when they're creating their art, they will maybe do 12, 15 tracks or whatever, then they'll choose the tracks they want for the album, and they will spend a lot of time choosing the order that they want the listener to hear them in.
But so, the other thing is, I mean, they do the same thing with the live performance, and I think this, I can't tell if they changed the order of the tracks, but they seem to flow in the same order that they played them live, because there's lots of crowd noise. I can't hear any cutting in the album.
Okay, well, you'll hear it on the show, but not on the album. Okay, it's a great choice. We're listening to John Mayall, Jazz Blues Fusion on Vinyl Decision. So we're just talking, I was just talking with Jim Clare here in the studio about the blues. And you were saying that as a kid you'd listen to some of the newer blues artists, often white artists would cover blues.
Right.
And that would lead you to following the history of the music back.
Right. So the blues started in America, went to the UK, and then actually it wasn't very popular. Right around the time that disco got popular in America, blues wasn't popular with the black audience. Disco and soul took over. So the blues guys here were bereft of, and here, blues guys in America, not Taiwan, were bereft of an audience. But the Brits were just discovering it.
We loved it.
And they loved it. All these guys like Muddy Waters, Howlin' Wolf, Sonny Boy Williamson, they all went to the UK and to Europe, just like
welcome.
A lot of the jazz guys after the 20s.
Yep, yep.
So
we'll take anyone.
You can look it up. You can Google it or look it up on YouTube. When Robert Plant met Sonny Boy Williamson. Sonny Boy Williamson's famous blues harp player, one of my favorites. And Robert Plant tells this story that he went to see Sonny Boy Williamson, and he happened to be in the restroom, And he looked over and he was standing next to Sonny Boy Williamson, who was doing the same thing he was doing. So he said to him, Sonny Boy was a really big guy. And he said to Sonny Boy Williamson, "Oh, Mr. Williamson, I just want to thank you so much. You've given me so much through your music over all these years, and I just really appreciate it. Could I have your autograph?" And he said, Sonny Boy looked down at him and said, "Kid, get lost."
I'm glad about that, actually. That's quite, really.
Poetic justice?
Yeah. Get lost. But I guess who's going to die richer? I think I know which one. But
yeah.
I mean, it's been a bit of a contentious issue about, because a lot of the blues songs were shared by so many artists right back at the early 20th century that it kind of got lost as to who originally wrote them and performed them. And they were shared around.
Well, so a lot of times they, you know, if you look up the source of a blues song, it'll say, or actually a lot of music from New Orleans as well, it'll say traditional
arrangement,
which means nobody knows who wrote
it. No one's going to claim it.
And for instance, like Little Walter, a famous blues harp player, had a great big hit with a song called My Babe, which is the same as This Train, which is, you know, My Babe Don't Stand No Cheating, but This Train Don't Take No Sinners. So a lot of the blues came out of gospel as well, the same kind of chord progression. One of the guys, when I played in a blues band in Cleveland, our drummer was from Mississippi. His name was Robert Layton. Came from Mississippi to Chicago to Cleveland, followed the typical going north to get a manufacturing job route that a lot of people in the Delta did. And he said to me one day, "Why don't you come down on Sunday and play harp with the band I play in the church?" And I said, "Robert, you know, I don't play gospel. I don't play religious music. I play blues." And he said, "Ain't no difference between blues and gospel. It's just instead of saying baby, you say Jesus."
And so did you do it?
No. I never got around to doing it. But
I think you missed an opportunity.
Oh, there. Yeah. That would have been a good story, too.
Okay, good. Okay, well, we're listening to Vinyl Decision with Jim Clark's choice, which is John Mayall.
Everybody gets featured on the front line. No, there's no more room to move. That's all way in the past. When did you come here? Hear an old record or something? Jump around. round of applause, please, for the individual musicians in the band. First of all, trumpet, Blue Mitchell. Trumpet, Blue Mitchell. Oh, saxophone, Clifford Sullivan. Clifford Sullivan. On the drums, Ron Sellico. Bass guitar, Larry Taylor.
Okay, you're listening to Vinyl Decision. I'm in the studio with Jim Klar here. How are you enjoying the album?
Oh, it's great. It's so great to hear it. It just reminds me of all those hours I spent listening to this, and even to the point where, you know, if you listen to a song enough, you can whistle the solos, like you know every note of the solo. So I'm having to hold back to keep from whistling along with the album.
Well, we're thankful. Maybe the next show you can do like a whistling version. We'll be right back. Yeah, we're listening to John Mayall here on Vinyl Decision. He's surrounded himself with quite an array of fabulous musicians.
Yeah, John Mayall was...
Was he considered very important in America? Because I know he went to America to do a lot of this recording, yeah?
Well, he ended up in America, yeah. Living in California. But yeah, he's a seminal influence in British blues, the birth of British blues, and also... He's
the godfather of British blues.
Yeah, and he's like, I don't want to say archivist, but he's kind of an archivist slash historian because...
Yeah, it's not a bad thing. Yeah.
All of these people who came through his bands, he always had a rotating band of musicians. Mm. One, you know, you might think because the blues, maybe nobody wanted to stay with him.
The Blues Breakers.
Yeah, or they moved on to... That was an early stage
they
of their career.
They went on to do their own thing, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Mick Taylor, who played with the Rolling Stones, played with John Mayall, Eric Clapton, Peter Green, all of these great British blues musicians.
So he kind of mentored them?
Well, yeah. He was like the godfather, and so they were sort of, everybody who ended up being any good would always start off with John Mayall and the Blues Brothers.
Yeah. So what's he doing now, do you know?
He's 85 years old, I think.
He can do whatever he wants at 85.
I think he's laying around. I looked it up, and I can't remember what he was doing, but I'll look it up soon.
Okay, we're going to continue the album now, and the track is Dry Throat. Thank you. My name's Mark Thomas. You're listening to Vinyl Decision. And in the studio today, we've got Jim Clark and his wonderful choice that both Yvonne, the wonderful engineer, and adjusting my microphone during mid-speech. Let me start again. No, I'm joking. That was, the wonderful Yvonne and I are enjoying John Mayall's Jazz Blues Fusion, performed and recorded live in Boston and New York. Mm-hmm. And very nice it is too.
Very good.
We are talking about jazz and blues, and which one is the superior and which one is the...
Depends on who you ask. Yeah, you ask a jazz musician, they'll say jazz is superior.
But it is a progression. Yeah, I mean, blues is kind of the basic that created it all, and jazz is kind of the furry icing on the cake, maybe.
I think jazz, to me, is more cerebral with more complex structure.
Right.
If you want to say, okay, the chakras, your groin area, your heart chakra, your head chakra, right? That jazz is a lot up in the head and the heart. Blues is more the heart
and the groin. And the
lower regions.
Yeah, okay. Yes. That makes a lot of sense. I like that. You took it down to the basics. I got it now. Yeah, that's probably why I tend to move towards the blues more than the jazz. I think I can go along with that. But so we're going to carry on with the album. Now we're reaching the end. We're in the third part of the show. It's always sad when we get here. Can you remember the title of this next track? Exercise.
Oh, Exercise for Harmonica in C Major.
Very good.
Or is it Exercise in C Major for Harmonica? One or the other?
Exercise in C Major for Harmonica.
Yeah.
Bass and shufflers, is that right?
Yeah.
Good. Okay. Wonderful. Okay, this is John Mayall on Vinyl Decision.
Thank you.
Okay, we're in the studio. We're just winding up now. It's a bit sad, actually. But those guys do sound like they're having fun, eh?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's like you mentioned earlier, the all of the jazz musicians sound like they're just enjoying the hell out of themselves playing.
I think
this.
They're cutting loose, aren't they? I think John Mayall probably like gave them a couple of beers before they started and promised them a woman each at the end of the show.
So. I think he inspires that kind of behavior.
Yeah, as he should. That's good. And it's good that it's a light-hearted album, but it's been an absolute pleasure listening to it with you, Jim.
Yeah, so. Thanks very much. I've enjoyed it a lot. It brings back a lot of memories.
Good.
And like I said, I started listening to this in 1972 when I was 13 years old and changed my life.
Good. Well, it's always nice to hear. And it's just the thing I love about Vinyl Decision. It's great to listen to an album with someone who loves it. So thanks a lot.
You're welcome. My pleasure.
Thank you. Please come back next week and see who we've got and what their decision is going to be for their final decision.
You've been listening to Vinyl Decision. Join us once again next week, same time, same place, for another rendezvous with another guest making their final decision. You say goodbye.